Our scripture reading comes from John 11, 1 through 7, 11 through 14, 17 through 27, and 38 through 44. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life, and the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, so that they may believe that you..." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." May God's blessings be added to the readings and hearings and understanding of God's word.
You know, one thing that is very evident in Scripture as we read it is that God is personal and caring and involved in his creation. And we read throughout the Bible how God, you know, was having a relationship with people and conversing with people. You know, he spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden. He conversed with Abraham and the patriarchs. He talked with the judges and the kings and the prophets. And certainly in Jesus' life, we see how he spoke and taught and loved his disciples and the other people. And then after Jesus' time on this earth, then we see how God communicated to the early church. And even in the book of Revelation, how God communicated to John. You know, and one thing that's very sure and very clear in the scripture is God says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I have always been and I will always be." And so it's one of those things that we can certainly see that if God did that in Scripture, that he still is a God that wants a relationship with us. And he's still a God that communicates with us and speaks to us. But now it's also evident in here that God doesn't always speak the same way. You know, to Moses, he spoke face to face as if a friend. And yet we also see that he spoke through angels, and he spoke through visions and dreams. He spoke through whispers, burning bushes, speaking donkeys, fingers writing on the wall. You know, all types of ways, through prophets, through miraculous signs. And so we see all of that. You know, when we started studying experiencing God in this church, you know, one of the things I really wanted us to get out of that, as we've been doing this sermon series and this Bible study, is for us to know and do the will of God. But we can't do the will of God if we don't know what it is. And so we have to be able to hear God. He has to guide us, and we have to hear Him speaking to us. And that speaking may be in different ways. And sometimes it is, you know, a verbal voice. And sometimes it's other ways. So there's lots of ways that we see that. And through the Bible, you know, of course, at first, it was certainly God speaking directly to, you know, the patriarchs and the prophets. And then when Jesus came along, then he gave God's message. And then following Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven is when we were given the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us now. And one of the best summary statements of how this works, I think, is from Experiencing God, where it just kind of encompasses and explains how God speaks. And it says, God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible and prayer, circumstances, and the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. You know, one of the reasons I really wanted us to do this Experiencing God is because, you know, for me, this is why I am in ministry. This is where I learned to listen for God. And it was going through this the very first time that I really, really understood when God wasn't speaking and when God was speaking. And when I first came to Henrietta, I shared my testimony with you at that time. And you're certainly welcome to go back and listen online. But I wanted to go back and kind of share a small portion of that briefly with you today, because I think it's a great teaching moment to understand how we can get in trouble if we're not hearing correctly, and understand, you know, how powerful it can be when God really speaks to us and we recognize that it truly is His voice. You see, for me, it was 20 years ago about this time, and it was a time when in my life, you know, God had been very important in my life early on. I'd been raised in a strong Christian family, and I really knew God, but I have to admit, at that time, God was kind of low on priorities. You know, my career was very important, and going out and having fun times with my family was important. And to be honest, I didn't spend a whole lot of time with God, and we didn't really go to church that much. And then my mother was diagnosed with cancer. And it's amazing how fast you can run back to God. And I went back to God, and I got involved in church, and I really started, you know, reading the Bible and praying. And, you know, it really kind of changed me during that time to do that. But to be honest, I was trying to make deals with God. I thought, if I'm good enough, that God will heal my mother. In fact, that attempting to be good enough went into all areas of my life. And I was a runner even back then. And even in that arena, I was trying to make deals with God. You know, some of the deals were so silly. They were things like, okay, Lord, I'll run the next mile in a 7-minute pace if you'll heal my mother. Or I'll run 14 miles today if you heal my mother. And then the biggest one came when I decided I was going to run a marathon, thinking, you know, there's so much training involved, and I'll just dedicate myself totally to God, and I'll do all that I can to prove to Him how good I am, and certainly He'll heal my mother. And you know what? I know, as crazy as that seems, and to be honest, that's really bad theology, but at the time, I really thought that God said we had a deal. And so I would train, and I would run, and I would pray, and you know, I would really work at it. And I found a marathon that happened to be on my 40th birthday, and so I was training towards that. And to be honest, I knew it was a God thing, because the only marathon on my birthday was in Maui. So I knew that was a God thing. And so I would, you know, for 9 months, I would really run every single day, and I would run for hours sometimes. And I would pray and talk to God about healing my mother. And it was amazing during that time how I grew closer to God. You know, I also shared with my mother that I was going to run this marathon in her honor. And so we would laugh and we would call it her race. And then one day, about a month before the marathon, I talked to her on the telephone, and she said that she had gone to see the doctor that day. And she said that she asked the doctor to help keep her alive until her race. And I said, "Oh, Mom, you're going to be just fine." I tried to give her words of encouragement because I knew that God was going to heal her. And it came time for the marathon, and my husband and I flew to Hawaii and the island of Maui, and it was just this incredible time. That running that race was amazing. It started, you know, before daybreak over on one side of the island, and then as we were running, then at sunrise, the volcano was there, and the sun was rising up behind that. And then running through a little fishing village, and then running along the cliffs, and there was the ocean, and there were whales out there. And then it finished at a flower-covered finish line, 26.2 miles later on the other side of the island. And the race director and I had become friends over the few months leading up to that time. And so he knew it was a special day for me. He knew it was my 40th birthday and that I was running in honor of my mother. And so he met me at the finish line with a flower lei. And I was so excited. You know, and one of the most amazing parts of it was, you know, I'd run other races before, but I never got tired in this one. In all that time, I never got tired, because the whole time as I was getting closer to the finish line, I knew my mother was getting stronger. And I knew God was healing her. And so I was so excited. And then I called home, and I couldn't wait to talk to her. I couldn't wait to hear her voice, because I knew she was probably already starting to feel better. And I called home, and my dad answered. And he said, "You need to get home fast." And so we made a mad dash for the airport and trying to fly back to the mainland, trying to get back to Texas and to my hometown. And I got there in the middle of the night, and she was already in a coma. But I got there, and I could kneel beside her and say, "I finished your race. You can let go now." And within 2 hours after I'd gotten home, she passed away. And I was devastated. I lost my mother that day. I lost my best friend. But I also lost God. Because everyone else could see that she was not going to make it. But I couldn't see that, because God and I had a deal. You know, after that, things just began to crumble. I was not a good mother. I was not a good wife. The next several months were just horrible. I managed a large organization, and I couldn't do that. It's like everything in my life was just turned upside down, and I was so full of grief for my mother, but also for God, and not understanding who God really is. And then our church offered a Bible study, Experiencing God. And it was one that my parents had taken before, and at their church, and they said it was something that transformed their church. And so I thought, you know, I certainly need to try to figure out who in the world God is. So maybe if I'll take this, maybe I'll understand what happened. And so I started taking that Bible study, and I would get up every morning and I would study it, and then I would go out and run. And where I used to run and pray to God about my mother, instead I would try to figure out who God really is. Except one night, I just ended up crying all night long. And so then I got up and just decided, I'm just going to go run. And instead of going out and running and praying to God, I literally went out and cursed God. I was so angry. I said, how dare you? We had a deal. You know, we talked about it constantly. Every single day for hours, we would talk about the deal. I did my part. You were supposed to do your part. We had a deal. We talked about it. And then I realized we didn't talk about it. I talked about it. And that made me even angrier. Because I thought, God, I know you exist. And I know you hear our prayers. And how dare you just to hear our prayers and then to let us think that you're talking to us when the whole time is just our own thoughts, our own wishes rolling around in our heads. And for us to think it's you speaking to us. God, you don't speak, do you? You don't speak. I came back to the house and came in the back door, and there on the table was my Bible study and my Bible. And I thought, God, I will never have anything to do with you again. In fact, I was planning on burning every Bible in the house. And I will never teach my children again about who you are. I don't want anything to do with you. And then something kind of stopped me. And I thought, okay, I'll give you one chance. I'll open the Bible study for today, and if you have anything to say, you better say it today. And if not, it's over. And I picked up the Bible study, and I opened it to that day's lesson. And the title of the unit was, God Speaks. If you don't think God has a sense of humor. And in that lesson, it talked about the scripture that Jennifer talked to the children about and that Cindy has just read to us, that story of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Except Henry Blackaby took it and kind of paraphrased it. And the way it was written was perfect for what I needed to hear, and it just really touched my heart. And so I'm going to read that section to you today, but where it says brother, I'll insert mother. And it says, then the Spirit of God began to help me understand something. It seemed to me as if Jesus said to Mary and Martha, you are exactly right. If I had come when you asked, your mother would not have died. You know, I could have healed her because you have seen me heal people many times before. If I had come when you asked me to, I would have healed her. But you would have never known any more about me than you already understood. I knew you were ready for a greater revelation of me than you had known before. I wanted you to experience that I am the resurrection and the life. My refusal and my silence were not rejection. They were opportunities for me to disclose to you more of me than you have ever known. You know, it was in that instant that there were just so many things that all of a sudden I realized. You know, I realized in the first place that it took my mother's illness for me to come back to God. And that had been incredible as I began reading the Bible more and growing closer to Him. But I also realized that if God had healed my mother, I have a feeling I would have said, "Thank you very much. Now get back in your box, and I'm going to put you up on the shelf. And next time I have a crisis in my life, I know exactly what I need to do to get you to perform." And instead, I had to wrestle with God and struggle with this. And I kept trying to dig and trying to figure God out. And through that, I had really come to know God. And I realized that God does speak. You know, and it's not just our desires and the things we're trying to tell ourselves. That's where we can get ourselves into trouble. But if we really pay attention, God does speak to us. And it was in that instant that I knew that more than anything, the most important thing to me was to be in full-time ministry and to preach and to share with other people about this amazing, amazing God who loves us dearly and wants to be a part of our lives and speaks to us in amazing ways and will guide us if we'll only listen. You know, that was a defining moment in my life that changed everything. And I realized that God does speak to us without a doubt. You know, I know for some of you that you have heard Him speak to you. I've heard some of your wonderful stories. Charlie was sharing with me this morning a wonderful story, and you need to ask him sometime because he's got an amazing story about, you know, driving a truck with gunpowder and lots of armory and everything else, and God rescued him at a certain point. You need to talk to different ones. Talk to Valerie Crafton about her time in the prayer room during Holy Week, or talk to Dwayne Ayler about his time praying in here last week. Talk to Chris Shearer. He's got a wonderful story about a blue gumball machine. You know, there's some amazing stories, and God talks to us in different ways at different times. Sometimes it's to rescue us or to stop us or to help us help someone else. You know, you never know how God's going to speak to us. But one thing's for sure is God loves each and every one of us. And if we'll spend time with Him, then we'll have a chance to hear from Him. And I really think the more you spend time with Him, the more you get to know Him, the better you hear His voice, and the better you allow Him to guide you. And I desperately want for each and every one that's here, for you to have a chance to really experience all that God has for you. That's one reason I've been so excited about this Bible study, because I really do think it's one of those that's a great tool for teaching us how to listen to God and how to know and do His will. Now, please don't miss out. Now, I would love to visit with you if you have questions, if you need someone to talk to. I would love to visit with you at any time. I'll also tell you, if you didn't get one of the Experiencing God workbooks, I think we gave out about 70 of them, but there's still some sitting on my desk. If you did not have a chance to get one before, then after the service, stop by my office and pick up one. You know, spend time with God and listen to what He wants to say to you. You know, thank goodness we have a God who loves us, who gave His life for us, and He is alive and speaking to us. May you clearly hear Him speak to you. Amen. Let's pray. Glorious God, You are with us at all times. And sometimes we just miss You. We're so wrapped up in our own world that we're not listening to how You might be speaking to our hearts. And You speak to us in a variety of ways. But Lord, help us to be so sensitive to what You are guiding us to do and how You are talking to us. And Lord, help us to just give our lives to You fully. so that we can experience who you truly are. To your glory, Lord.